As I have studied the New Testament, I have discovered that the Apostle Paul lumps everyone into two categories, condemned or justified. He did not mention quantity or quality of sins. Either you are totally forgiven of all or forgiven of nothing. In our discussion on how to forgive ourselves, we have mentioned that to receive God's forgiveness, one needs to confess his sins and repent. But to forgive yourself, you may need to take a few additional steps. To have a completely guilt-free conscience, you may need to make restitution. In the Bible, we read about a man named Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, who besides being a tax collector, was also a crook. One day, Jesus met him and forgave him of his sins and his dishonesty. After Zacchaeus was saved, he decided to pay back everything he had stolen with interest. His paying back was not necessary to be saved, but relieved any guilt he might have for taking advantage of his fellow man. It is only natural after salvation that we would respond by giving to others and by making restitution as an act of worship and thanksgiving. Restitution is viewed as a very important step to recovery by Alcoholics Anonymous. Step 9 of the 12 steps to recovery of Alcoholics Anonymous says, make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so should injure them or other. There may be someone that you need to do more than ask forgiveness from. You may need to make some kind of restitution to free your conscience of guilt or forgive yourself. An additional step might also be to change your behavior. Like the woman taken in adultery in John chapter 8, we must go our way and sin no more. We must yield ourselves to the living Christ and commit ourselves to His service. When we begin to live like a Christian, we will begin to feel like a Christian. After David had sinned by committing adultery with Bathsheba, he lost the joy of his salvation. David was living like a lost man, and so he felt like a lost man. David repented and confessed his sin and asked the Lord to restore to him the joy of his salvation in the 51st Psalm. As David was cleansed from his sin and began to live in obedience to the Lord again, the guilt was gone. Paul tells believers in Ephesians chapter 4 to stop living like lost men and start living like we are redeemed. Paul said, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands." Maybe you cannot forgive yourself because you've never made a break from the lifestyle that is causing you so much guilt. Begin to make a small change today. Every day work on being obedient to the Lord who has saved you and forgiven you. And as you live in obedience to Him, the guilt will begin to disappear. A third step to feel forgiven would be to meditate on the Scriptures. Our only authority for freedom from guilt is the Word of God. We cannot depend upon our emotions or our feelings, so it is vital that we allow the truths of the Scriptures to become a part of our thinking. We must memorize and use passages of Scripture. The Word of God will give you the assurance that you are forgiven. Use it and allow it to minister to you. To forgive yourself, you may need to take a few additional steps. Can you really forgive yourself? Charles Stanley said, "Do you realize that the God of the universe desires to have fellowship with you?" You may say, "But you don't know what I've done." I know this. Whatever you have done pales in significance beside the sin of Adam and Eve. They brought sin into the human race. Their sin brought about God's curse on the whole earth. Their sin made death a reality for all that breathes, both human and animal. Yet after all of that, God still cared enough about Adam and Eve to slay an animal and make garments of skin to cover their nakedness and hide their shame. If God was willing to move that quickly to restore fellowship with Adam and Eve, does it make sense that He would move any less quickly to restore fellowship with us? As I have studied the New Testament, I have discovered that the Apostle Paul lumps everybody into two categories, condemned, or justified. He did not mention quantity or quality of sins. Either you are totally forgiven of all or forgiven of nothing. Lewis Smead said, "To forgive yourself takes high courage. The rule is, we cannot really forgive ourselves unless we look at the failure in our past and call it by its right name, sin. What happens when you finally do forgive yourself? When you forgive yourself, you rewrite your script. What you are in the present scene is not tied down to what you were in an earlier scene. The bad guy you played in Act 1 is eliminated and you play Act 2 as a good guy. You release yourself today from yesterday's scenario. You walk into tomorrow, guilt gone. To forgive yourself is to act out the mystery of one person who is both forgiver and forgiven. You judge yourself, you forgive yourself. You can really forgive yourself. Forgiveness is never complete, friend, until first you've experienced the forgiveness of God. Secondly, we must be able to forgive others who have wronged us. And lastly, we must be able to forgive ourselves. There will be no abiding peace in our hearts until we forgive ourselves for the wrongs that we have committed. Being forgiven has nothing to do with feeling forgiven. Being forgiven has to do with what Christ did for us on the cross. Forgiving ourselves is not just a contemporary problem. The Apostle Peter, after having said that he would stand with the Lord even if he was the only one, later denied that he knew Christ three times. Peter had to learn to forgive himself for that. The Apostle Paul, before his conversion to Christ, beat, imprisoned, and even killed Christians, and he had to forgive himself for that. Every saint of God has had to forgive themselves. No one is ever beyond forgiveness. Absolutely, positively, no one. God views sin as sin. There are no big sins and no little sins. And God said that Calvary covers it all. Nowhere does the Bible say that God has forgiven us all our sins except Jesus paid it all, friends, no exceptions. Charles Stanley said, "When we accept God's forgiveness, we can tell the devil that we have played back that accusing videotape for the last time. When Satan tries to punch that button again, we will find that he has been short-circuited by Jesus. We are free." Father, thank you for the forgiveness of sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Lord, that you loved us enough to pay the ultimate price to forgive us and cleanse us eternally. And dear Lord, I pray that if there's someone listening today that has never received Jesus into their heart, they've never come to know the joy of forgiveness, I pray that right now that they would invite him into their hearts. Help them to confess their sins, to repent of their sins, and by faith trust Jesus. And then, Lord, give them the assurance that they are forgiven. Dear Lord, thank you for being the loving and merciful and forgiving God that you are. And it's in the name of our Savior we pray. Amen.